Top members of Congress tell Defense Secretary Jim Mattis they support his request for a $52 billion plus up in Pentagon funding, and then some. But they also warn him that his request is politically unworkable, partly because it does nothing about that pesky Budget Control Act. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has more.
In his first appearances on Capitol Hill to defend the president's 2018 defense budget, Mattis, a retired Marine general, acknowledged that the spending plan does nothing to provide for the larger military President Trump promised on the campaign trail or that the military service chiefs say they need. Instead, he says the 2018 budget is about filling in readiness holes that were created by 4 years of Budget Control Act spending caps.
I retired from military service 3 months after sequestration took effect. 4 years later, I returned to the department, and I have been shocked by what I've seen about our readiness to fight. While nothing can compare to the heartache caused by the loss of our troops during these wars, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the combat readiness of our military than sequestration. We have only sustained our ability to meet America's commitments abroad for our security because our troops have stoically shouldered a much greater burden.
But Senator John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, says there are several problems with the proposal. For one, he notes that it's technically illegal, since it would break the BCA caps for 2018 by $52 billion. For another, in a departure from past practice, the budget does not forecast the Pentagon's budget needs over the next 5 years, instead proposing just 1 year of spending while Mattis and other senior leaders complete a strategic review of their future needs.
We just can't keep going like this. You can't expect us to fulfill the three requirements that you gave, funding increase, pass a budget, present a stable budget, if you don't give us a strategy. And I hope you understand that I'm not criticizing you, but there are problems within this administration. I was confident that within the first 30 to 60 days, we would have a strategy from which to start working. So all I can tell you is that unless we get a strategy from you, you're going to get a strategy from us. The fact is, it's not our job. It's not our job. It's yours. And I have to tell you, the frustration that I feel is obviously palpable because it's hard for us to act when you don't give us a strategy, which then leads to policy, which then leads to authorization, which is our job.
Another unusual departure from this year's budget request is the Pentagon's unfunded priorities list. Ordinarily, the military services use that list to detail additional quantities of weapons systems they would choose to buy if Congress allocated money above and beyond the budget request. But this year's list, totaling $31 billion, also includes funding for additional personnel and readiness programs. Many lawmakers felt that was an indication that the budget Mattis proposed wasn't as much as what he truly believes the military needs. He told both houses this week that he fully supports the additional spending the military services included in their lists, and that taken together with the actual budget proposal, they present an accurate picture of DOD's requirements.
We're trying to be informed by the reality of what the law says, but at the same time, we're not being shy at telling you where we're really at, you know, in terms of what we need. But I think we need to work together and come up with a solution here. Because I don't know how I would bring something to you that laid out a budget for what you pointed out here when the BCA cap, I mean, I would have to completely ignore this, and I'm ignoring it already to the tune of $52 billion, well, the president is, with the budget he submitted. And it just seems to me that we've got to have the kind of discussion that Senator Perdue, the Chairman McCain, Senator Reid have brought up, and get a grip on reality here, because it's like we're all walking around as if we're victims.
But McCain and other lawmakers were frustrated by that approach, saying that it's difficult for Capitol Hill's defense advocates to convince their colleagues to support more robust military funding if the Pentagon itself is not entirely clear about its budgetary and military strategies. Senator Jack Reed is the ranking Democrat on the Armed Services Committee.
I think the chairman's point is where it's very late in the game. And the ability for us, just institutionally, to rewrite a budget, to reallocate resources between defense and non-defense, to increase defense spending without any guideline or framework from the administration is just not impossible, very difficult. The budget that's submitted will not work. If nothing is done to change BCA and it's silent on BCA, the $52 billion we give you we will take back, in fact, in a more harmful fashion, even if we didn't give it to you. If we just left the BCA levels, at least you could prioritize.
Pentagon officials have previously said that the 2019 budget will be a more traditional one, including a five-year forecast of spending demands. But Mattis said those long-range forecasts can't be completed until he's had a chance to develop a new defense strategy, partially informed by a bottom-up review of future military requirements that the Joint Chiefs of Staff has been working on for the past 18 months. And in response to congressional critiques that it's taken the Trump administration too long to develop its future defense plans, he laid part of the blame at the feet of the Obama administration.
We have entered a strategy-free time, and we are scrambling to put it together. But anyone who thinks a strategy, an integrated, interagency, whole-of-government strategy can be done rapidly is probably someone who hasn't dealt with it. We're working it. As far as the strategy for Afghanistan, it's coming very shortly. We have broader strategies that we're building on, having to do with NATO and allies in the Pacific. You've seen us engage with those people as we make certain that we're drawing strength from allies, too. We're not putting this all on the backs of the American taxpayer, the American military. But it does take a lot of effort to walk into the level of strategic thinking that we found and try to create something that's sustainable.
But members of Congress remained puzzled about the administration's approach, given the president's clear statements of intent to build a larger military. Trump said he would build an active-duty army of 540,000 soldiers and a 350-ship navy. Considering that increases of those sizes take years to accomplish, many wondered why the Pentagon would delay the process by a full year. Virginia Congressman Rob Whitman is the chairman of the House Subcommittee on Sea Power and Projection Forces.
If there's this near-universal agreement that 355 is where we need to be, we can't mark time. We need to catch up. Our adversaries are doing everything they can in building additional capacity, whether it's under the seas, across the spectrum with aircraft carriers, surface navy. The question is it does seem counterintuitive to say that we're just going to do 8 ships this year or 9 ships. I understand wanting to maintain those and making sure we're doing those things. But another thing that's additionally troubling, not just with the number of ships, but this year's budget request actually cuts $1 billion out of shipbuilding accounts. So in that realm, my question is why only 9 ships this year? But more fundamentally, with cutting $1 billion out of shipbuilding accounts, how do we see our Navy getting to 355 ships, and when will we be able to get there? You know, the CBO has done an assessment about when we believe we can get there. We think we have the industrial capacity to get there. The question is, strategically for our nation, the urgency of getting there.
Mattis says he's also impatient about building a larger military and that it's necessary to meet global threats, but he says the amount of funding DOD was able to propose for the year was limited by the carrying capacity of the president's overall budget. But Congressman Adam Smith, the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, was bothered by the fact that the administration has still not given Congress any indication of what it would ultimately cost to keep the military buildup promises the president has made.
I can't help but think that that's because you didn't want to look at it and see just how outlandish those numbers would be versus the money we have. So I would suggest, as I said in my opening remarks, that we get more realistic about that. I don't think it serves any particular purpose to make promises that nobody has any intention of keeping. So if we could down that to something that's reasonable. And with that, let me just say, one of the things I hope that the NDAA is able to do is when we're on the floor, we have an amendment to repeal the BCA and the budget caps. And I would urge in a bipartisan way that we try to get that out there on the floor and let members take that vote, because the Budget Control Act was 6 years ago. It was passed with the goal of reaching a grand bargain. That didn't happen. It's irrelevant. Now, that's not to say that a $20 trillion debt and a $700 billion deficit is not a problem. It's just that it's obvious the Budget Control Act is a terrible way to go about trying to address it.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Check out Jared's story and all of our DOD coverage at FederalNewsRadio.com.